Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Technology Uncorked. Well, the last episode of Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Gorchamani, and this show has been brought to you by Navman since the dawn of time, since the very beginning. And if you haven't caught the message in all of the episodes that we have been doing Technology Uncorked for, the reason that you have a Navman dash cam is to sit beside you, is to be the eyewitness, is to pay attention to the road even when you're not, to capture everything that's happening, even data that you wouldn't even be aware of, such as GPS location, your exact speed, or even the G-force of impact should something actually go wrong. It sees better than most human eyes and does a better job of actually remembering. If you don't have a Navman dash cam, then who is really going to vouch for your actions when you stand up in front of a judge or your parents or anybody else to try and explain what happened? A Navman dash cam with a front and rear camera will tell the story and so much more. As I've been talking about on this show for so many years, if you don't have a Navman dash cam, who is watching the road for you? Thank you to Navman for all the years of their support. Head to navman.com.au to get more of their information. Continue to support the brand that supported me for so many years, but also a brand that I will continue to trust and use in the vehicles that move me and my family around. Let's get on with the show.
Rasembras ma Jeff Quattromani, multi-Australian in Sydney.
Tech expert Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani, thank you very much from Sydney.
Jeff Quattromani is here.
And now it's time to talk technology with Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani.
Hello everybody, thanks for tuning in.
What the heck? Let's talk tech.
And good afternoon, good evening, good morning. Whenever it is that you are tuned in, welcome. Welcome to Australia's number one podcast, soon to be number two, three, four, down to zero. Welcome. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining after so many years. As always, we do pour a glass, and we didn't necessarily go particularly special today. I actually had a delivery of wine just before this show, which was perfect timing as I can wrap up on a wine that was shared with me. It's from a company, It's the name of the vineyard is called Aces and Arrows. The actual bottle looks like, you know, it's got like a deck of cards type king on the front, which I really like the design of. It's a Pinot Noir, which I'm a big fan of, especially from Central Otago, New Zealand. This is a really nice bottle of wine, but something you can literally have just during the week. I think one of the things we've done on this show a lot is highlight affordable beverages, whether it's beer, wine, or others, that you can just have. You don't have to be super fancy to have these drinks. And this one's $23. $23 from vintage sellers I'm seeing online at the moment. And it's a pretty darn good little Pinot Noir to enjoy as we sit and keep it together for the next few minutes as we really sort of try and wrap up the show. And it's an impossible thing to do. It's an impossible thing to do because technology doesn't stop. So even if this podcast does, tomorrow there'll be news that I wish I could talk to you about. The day after there'll be news. In September, Apple will announce something that I'm going to be dying to talk to you about. You just don't know what's around the corner. And that's one of the things is it's not like a true crime podcast or something else where if you stop, it's like a TV show that just ends. My job for the last few years has been to tell you the news, give you my opinion, share advice about the latest trends or products. And I think we've been trying to do our best job of that. Now, over the years, I think I've spoken to many of you in person, many of you via email, many of you via direct message on social media, and I've loved that. Even in the past week, receiving emails from you about things that we should talk about on this show, it's been amazing to just hear of people, I guess, coming out of the woodwork in some ways because I talk into the microphone, I look at my screen, I upload the podcast, and I hit submit. And you just don't really know who is behind them. I can see the numbers, but I don't know who they are. One of the things that I was asked a few times by different people over the the course of this week, especially as I wanted to know what it was to wrap up this show with, was one, people really wanted to know my journey. I hate using that word, but they really wanted to know where I came from, how suddenly I'm going from podcasting to a full-time job that requires more time. Some may have thought that this was my job. And I'm going to explain this hobby that I call being a tech commentator, and I'll explain, the rest of my life as well. But the other thing that I was asked about was, where I feel technology will go, especially now that I'm going to stop talking about it. I'll answer that one quickly because I think that's probably the easiest one to answer. And short term, I think we're going to see a lot more around AI. Short term, I think we're going to hear AI sometimes as a buzzword, sometimes in a real sense. I think we're seeing some very good examples from companies like Microsoft and Google around how they're actually using AI in a real sense, whether it's in your workplace, on your mobile device, in your workflows. That's real. And they are impressive, really impressive solutions to everyday problems and efficiencies that I think we're going to continue to gain from AI, which is remarkable. Obviously, there'll be plenty of other brands that will just use the term and the trend to try and sell their crappy product, and that's going to continue to happen. I think in this year particularly, we're going to continue to see more advancements, obviously, in robotics, whether it's your smart vacuum, your robot mower, your window cleaner, and others. You're going to continue to see that. But I do think that most of the changes we're going to see this year aren't hardware. I think the biggest changes you're going to see for the rest of this year are software and service-driven. Whether it's, I don't just want to say AI again, but whether it's AI or machine learning or other applications that are going to continue to push that envelope in what you can do on your devices, I think that's where the real advancements will come in. I think, again, we'll probably see more devices talking to each other as actions trigger other actions. But again, that is all software and service driven. So I just think that we're going to see an evolution of the technology, a convergence in some way of technology. And I think it's a very exciting time to be in tech. It's definitely not a great time to stop talking about it. But that's where we are today. Now, to give you a bit of an insight as to, obviously, you know who I am, but what was fun over the last few days was to, do my last radio spots. And some of them I've been doing for 5 years, some I've been doing for longer, and some of them only maybe 12 months or so. But letting go of 6 radio stations that you speak on every single week has not been an easy thing to do. It's like leaving a job or leaving a company 6 times, and it's a very weird thing to do. In some cases, I've been able to gracefully hand over to somebody else who's going to pick up on those segments, and I'm looking forward to their success in that. And in some areas, some are just dropping the segment entirely, and some are just figuring it out themselves. And I've loved every radio station that I've ever spoken on, but especially the ones that you get to do on a regular basis, because you build those relationships. But where did this all start? Where did this all come from? 2010, 30th of October 2010 was the first time I uploaded a video to YouTube. And that video was a review of a 3G Optus wireless dongle. So a little USB dongle that you would plug into your computer to get beautiful 3G Optus internet speeds in October 2010. Now, why did I start making videos in the first place? Well, I had a career in IT. After year 12, I moved into IT immediately. I wasn't smart enough to go into university, nor did I really want to. I actually just really wanted to work. And I learned by doing, not so much by studying. And straight away, I actually ended up working 4 schools after finishing school, and that was amazing because I got to, I guess, reap the problems or the karma that I had when I was in schools, and whether it's pulling bananas out of computers or finding the balls of the mice that were completely destroyed, that was something I had to deal with. But it was an amazing 2 years, and I made some incredible friendships through that period and met some amazing people and learned a heck of a lot. Now, when you're at such a young age, I remember when I first moved into that role, I was working in a high school where the year 12 students were older than me because I was one of the younger kids in year 12. So some of those kids that were in year 12 that year were actually older than me, and I would see them at the pub when I would go there of a Friday night or Saturday night, because that's kind of the weird age that I was while working full time. I certainly didn't look as young as them. I've always looked probably twice my age, but I've always had a career in IT since the very beginning, and it's been in various roles, whether it was support, project management, data and analytics, digital transformation, and now as a head of technology, but various roles along the way. And when it hit a certain period of time, anyone who works in IT knows that there is always somebody who will come to your desk or call you, whether it's a relative, a friend, or a colleague, and say, "Hey, my computer's broken, can you fix this?" Or, "Hey, my son wants a new computer or a new phone or a gaming console. Which one should I buy? What should I do? What should I get?" And for some reason, it just became apparent to me that I don't really need to continue answering this question on a one-to-one basis. that actually I could probably take my answers and make them a bit more public, and maybe somebody else who has a similar question would get an answer. So rather than, it would be like me recording this podcast for one person, it doesn't really make sense. It's better if more than one person hears it. Unfortunately, they do. So that was why I started doing this. And in IT, I guess I had access to a few products that were on my desk, and one of those was an Optus 3G wireless internet card. And it was great to sit in front of a camera. As bad as that video is to look back on, it was the first. It was the first thing that I did, and I talked about that. I think I may have talked about a Telstra one in my second episode, and I talked about a power board at one point. Like, I was just taking whatever I could get. And then eventually, I started a blog out of that as well. It was a Tumblr website. Tumblr is probably gone now, I think. But it was a website where you could host your own blog. It was called notanalog.com, which was me trying to be a bit creative with words. Notanalog.com, and I used to write on that website. I used to host my videos there. Obviously, everything was on YouTube, but then shared on that platform. And I grew a little bit of a following, but never a huge amount. I mean, it's a blog. How crazy could it be? And what was fascinating was eventually, after posting things, you sometimes would start to hear from other journalists, or you would hear from PR companies, especially as Twitter and things like that really started to take off. When you shared something about a brand on Twitter, back then brands used to care about that. And sometimes they would reshare or retweet your review, or sometimes they would contact you and say, hey, interesting thoughts. Would you like to check out this product or that product? And I remember once upon a time, there was a guy, his name was David Flynn. He worked for a traveler website, like a business travel website. And he asked me if I was going to a HTC event. And I said, no, I don't go to events. I don't get invited to these things. And he immediately looped me in with the PR company that represented HTC. And as a result, I got my first event invitation. And that was like going to the Logies for me. That was just a huge deal to get an invitation to a product launch event. And it was remarkable to walk into that room and see, you know, faces of people that you would probably normally see on TV, or they would talk on the radio and things like that. And IT journalists are very clicky. There is, especially back then, it was like a cool kids club. There were some who weren't part of that club. And it was very interesting to sort of come into that room and, you know, suss out where the mean girls are to where the good people are. And you do meet some really good people along the way, and I certainly have been lucky to do that. So one of the people that I did meet at that exact event was somebody named Gary and Lee Stark. It's a father and son combo. They were doing a show together called The Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ, and they invited me on as a guest, and I did that. And then very shortly after, Lee, who was the son, he moved on to do podcasts for a website called Gadget Guy. And I was invited to be the co-host of that program going forward. And that was in 2013. So, you know, over a 3-year period of me making YouTube videos, writing blogs, attending events, slowly growing a reputation, eventually I get this opportunity to speak on radio, community radio at that, based out of Burwood, on a weekly basis. It was Sunday nights going out to Burwood and talking for an hour with music. It was an FM station, so you could play a bit of music as well. And I absolutely loved it, and also helped me learn about timing, about producing a radio show. It was literally run by you guys. There was no other producers, so community radio doesn't have the benefit of staff. So you would go into the studio with your laptop, with your music loaded onto it. You would have the decks in front of you to push buttons, turn mics off, manage volumes, and so on. It was amazing, an amazing experience to have, and I was just completely lucky to be able to have met them, and then obviously to get that invitation to do so. Through those YouTube videos, through the blog that I had, yes, there was community radio, but I also had built very strong relationships with some brands, BlackBerry being one of them. And during that period where my audience would not be significant, but I was a BlackBerry user back then. This was around the time of the iPhone starting to take some growth. The emergence of BlackBerry and their transition as they were trying to make to compete with BlackBerry was a pretty exciting time. And they just came to me, gravitated to somebody who was kind of a positive for them, not a negative talker of BlackBerry. I was hoping that they would survive the trauma that Apple was inflicting on their market share. And I was flown all over the world. I went to New York. I went to Florida. I went to all parts of Asia with them for different conferences, product launches. I met Lewis Hamilton as part of that. He was obviously his Mercedes. Was it Mercedes? Yeah, Mercedes was sponsored by BlackBerry at that point. And that was amazing to meet him. Alicia Keys, she was an ambassador for BlackBerry. I mean, they went heavy on spend during their last years. Met with their CEO a number of times, spent time in corporate boxes at the Formula One with BlackBerry. I just couldn't believe that they were embracing this little guy with such a small audience, with such care. And it was quite incredible to experience. And those trips, some of them I will absolutely never forget, and some of them you kind of won't be too upset if you do. But the travel was a pretty incredible part. I think I've seen more of the world. Well, I have. I've seen more of the world through this gig than I have in my personal experiences or travel. And the one thing I'll say is, throughout all of this period as well, I'm working full time. So when you take a trip, when you accept to go on an event or a press conference in New York or Florida, whatever it could be, that's annual leave. You're taking leave out of that 4 weeks you get. That's telling your boss you need to go away for a couple of weeks or even a week, maybe 2 days, whatever it could be. So back then, yes, it was producing your own videos, putting them on YouTube, doing the editing, doing your community radio show, writing your blogs, and turning up every morning and doing your job. And back then, it wasn't hybrid work. It was in-office work. So you're in the office, you're doing your work. And when you get home, that was when I get to do stuff like that. I won't say like this because podcasting, it existed, but I wasn't doing podcasting back then. I was doing video. Let me have a quick sip and then we're going to talk about the years that followed after that, because it really went from that to the stratosphere pretty quickly. Now, I will say that eventually you realize that making videos is hard. It's hard work. Hard work for a few reasons. One, you need to film. You need to edit, you need to upload. But finding the time to film, finding the right conditions to film in, especially when you're doing it after hours, people might be sleeping in the household and you're about to shoot a video. You might want to be in your pajamas, but you need to be dressed. You need the right lighting, you need the right audio, etc. Making videos is a pain in the butt. And eventually it was easier just to start writing instead of doing video. My YouTube channel, when I checked it the other day, it has about 2.3 million views across the account. And, you know, some videos have probably got 10 views and some have hundreds of thousands of views, but it's remarkable that 2.3 million people potentially looked at those videos over that period of time. And I stopped uploading there after about 3 or 4 years. I really did give it a rest because it just became too difficult to do. Had a green screen. I had a weekly show on there called Cup of Tech, where I talk about the news of the week. And I actually should have made that a podcast at the time because the audio was there. I could have just used that, but I stuck with YouTube for as long as I could. Throughout the course of attending events, going on trips, going to the Grand Prix, going to incredible experiences that sometimes had nothing to do with the brand, but because they were a sponsor or something like that, you got a ticket. I met people, and one person who I obviously will never forget and will continue to stay in contact with is Trevor Long. And some of you would know that he and I certainly have history. We met more than a decade ago. And at some point, he and I got together. He came to my office, my actual workplace. And we had a chat about the fact that he had a website, EFTM, which was focusing on tech, cars, and lifestyle. And while I was enjoying the tech part, he obviously had tech and cars covered very well, but not necessarily in the lifestyle space. And one of the things I asked him was, how about you bring me in and I can help you write the lifestyle stuff, because clearly there's a gap there. And obviously I can still help fill some gaps around tech when there's too much on your plate. He was doing a lot more TV and things like that at that point. So it made sense. It made sense for me to join the duo that was in-house at the moment. And again, this is an after work type arrangement that I was doing. In a volunteer capacity, I guess. It was, you know, you don't get paid for these things, especially when you're a website that's still trying to find its feet and so on. And that was 2015. So February 6, 2015, I think it was one of the emails I saw where it was sort of made official that this would happen, that I would be their lifestyle editor. And that opened a lot of other doors for me as well, because I went from covering tech profusely to now thinking about beverages, clothing, You name it. Lifestyle can cover anything, literally anything. I went with the RAF in a Hercules on a joyride. We literally flew out of Richmond RAF base. We flew out to Canberra to do a flyby. We did some drops, literally like airdrops out of the back of a Hercules. I threw up two or three times. And that was just for a story that would really resonate really well on EFTM. There's some stuff that we did which is remarkable, and money cannot buy those experiences. So whether you're paid or not, there are certainly some experiences I had through that website, and even just through tech in general, that will astound you. I remember going on a car trip with Audi, and it was for the launch of the Q7, and they flew us on a private jet to Mount Hotham in Victoria, out of Bankstown Airport in New South Wales. Private jets, there were three on the runway when we all met in the morning. You picked the jet that you were going to go on. You flew down to Hotham. It landed on the tarmac in Mount Hotham, full of snow. And on that same runway were about 15 Audi Q7s. They all had the keys inside them. You picked an Audi, and then you followed the lead car. We saw snow dogs. We had massages, had a beautiful lunch, then drove ourselves back to the airport, private jet back to Sydney, all in a day's work. That is the kind of lifestyle that it was. And it was insane. I mean, bonkers. And that's just me as us. I mean, even just as EFTM at the time, we were still relatively small compared to so many other lifestyle outlets. You can just imagine the type of stuff that was going on for some of the bigger publications as well. So 2015 was that, and we really wrapped up around 2018. It wasn't ideal. It wasn't a good ending, unfortunately. My son was born that year. I had some paternity leave, which was amazing to spend as much time as possible with my son. And at the same time, it was just getting a bit strange. There was a lot of things going on that maybe I felt disconnected from or isolated from, given I had a full-time job, I had a new baby, and you know, you're trying to figure everything else out, and it didn't end well. I found myself just on the outer overnight, and there was a number of reasons for that, which we can talk about. So 2018, I ended that relationship with EFTM, but fortunately, I say really honestly, fortunately, because I don't like bad relationships. I don't like people not liking me, if I'm honest. 2021 May, Trevor and I sat down and had a good chat and sort of cleared the air and just sort of reconnected in that way as we probably should have much sooner. But yeah, there was just a lot of tension, I guess, prior to that. And I guess we also probably became competitors in some way in that gap period as well. But yeah, it was good to at least have reformed a connection and, you know, had some, there was always that mutual respect, I think, and you can't lose sight of that. And honestly, one of the things I said to Trevor when we first sat down after, 3 years of really not engaging with one another was, I think I told him something along the lines of that people were dying. A lot of people are dying, and now whether it's in our circles or people that you knew, celebrities that you maybe both had interactions with, people in the media, you know, people pass away, and it's sad. I hate it when people pass away. But one of the things I was very clear about was I would have really been upset if something had happened to either of us and we had not cleared the air and we had not had a conversation, because I don't want anything like that to have a negative finish. I just don't think anyone should. In the same way, I don't like going to sleep after, you know, if you have a disagreement with your wife, one of the things I won't like to do is go to sleep without resolving that. I like things resolved. I like things clean and neat. So it was a weird way to probably open that conversation, but it was like, I'm glad you haven't died, because that would have really bothered me. I'm sure it would have bothered a lot of people, but that was one of the things. Now, during that whole period, and it's worth talking about this, because if I take a step back, obviously EFTM was 2015, but I was doing that community radio in 2013. But my first real commercial radio appearance was 2014. So well before EFTM, I was doing 3AW in Melbourne. And that was a remarkable thing to be able to do. And other radio stations kind of quickly pick up on you appearing on radio stations. It's weird. I remember sometimes talking on, say, 3AW, and then the next minute you get a call from 4BC in Queensland saying, hey, we just heard an interview that you did. Can you come on our show and talk about the same thing? Or next week we'd like you to talk about something as well. And very quickly, people start to figure out who you are. And again, this was prior to EFTM, where I probably gained a bit more prominence writing for a website like that instead of my own blog. But that was 2014. And then Talking Lifestyle, which was 2UE, I remember appearing on there and eventually had a regular spot with George and Paul. George and Paul had a fantastic radio show on a Saturday, and they had a tech person. His name was Pete Blasina, and he ran the website Gadget Guy. Gadget Guy is one of the biggest tech websites, I think, in Australia, you could say, and he was doing tech advice and taking calls in the George and Paul show on a Saturday. And honestly, I mean, as Pete was one of the pioneers as it relates to tech commentary, but I remember he was really medically having issues, and he was not able to really perform on radio as well as he would have liked to have been able to. And it eventually just made sense that I would be waiting in the wing in some way to step in. And I was lucky enough to get that opportunity, and it was remarkable. We were number one in that time slot across New South Wales, and even more than that. And then eventually that show moved to 2GB, and it started to then cover, I think it was the whole East Coast by the end of it. But I served with them until that show wrapped up completely. I became very close with George and Paul, and obviously we've lost Paul in the years that have gone by. And again, remarkable that I got to work with two amazing people in 2GB. But there would be weeks where I would have way too many commitments to make it even fathomable that I had a full-time job. And one of those being, obviously, you're writing for EFTM. You've got a Saturday radio spot where you need to organize things. But I would also do a Thursday with Deborah Knight in the afternoon show. I would go in and I'd sit with Deborah Knight. Sometimes it was Steve Price, and it evolved for a little bit. But at the same time, I was also preparing segments. So I say George and Paul, 2018, my first appearance on Studio 10 was 2018. My first appearance on 7 News was 2018. My first appearance on the Today Show was 2018. So in that year, I would be sometimes doing Today Show in the morning on a Saturday and then driving to Piedmont to do 2GB. And in a lot of cases, that also was me doing other radio spots during the week, because I obviously had 6 other stations that I was already catering for, but it could have been 3AW, it could have been 2GB. It was some of the biggest stations. And I was writing, I was appearing for in the media extensively while still carrying the EFTM brand wherever I went. I did Singapore Channel News Asia. I did TV and radio in Malta as well. Those years were extremely busy, and somehow I still managed to maintain my IT career and in most cases still get promoted along the way. It was kind of remarkable. I didn't get to appear on Sunrise until 2021. But after 2018, after the drama, I guess, that unfolded with EFTM, I went gangbusters with any other publication who would take me. And December is a bad time to lose a tech writing gig, because CES is in January. And I still managed to go to CES 1 month after that. I found sponsorship. I found publications to write for. I wrote for news.com.au 1 month after to get to CES. I wrote for The Australian. I wrote for Men's Health. I wrote for 7news.com. I wrote for 9Honey. I wrote for most publications in Australia. There's probably not many that I can say that I've missed. GQ. It's an amazing journey when you think about, if you really set yourself out and say to any publication, I've got a story. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to read it? How many actually publications will start to take it? And some will even pay. And that was kind of a remarkable thing to learn, is that publications did pay. Not all of them, but some did. And in fact, the ones that you wouldn't expect to pay, like the smaller companies, they're the ones who did. Whereas the bigger guys, news.com.au, for example, The Australian, not interested. So to give you a bit of a rundown of companies that I've written for, 7 News, 9Honey, 10 Daily, which is now closed, Ausdroid, which was an amazing Australian Android website, Australian Business Traveller, Best Of, which is a segment of news.com.au, the Bunnings magazine, Car Advice, which is now Car Expert, and I contributed heavily to Car Expert when they first launched, Channel News, Daily Mail, Dimage, Gadget Guy, Gadgets Malta, GQ, Man of Many, Maserati magazine, Men's Health, news.com.au, Smart Daily, So What magazine, T Australia, which is which is a big publication, Tech Life, The Australian, The New Daily, The Volvo Magazine, Winning Appliances Magazine, Yahoo News. That's some of them. The New Yorker is one other that I've contributed to, sometimes as commentary, sometimes as quotes. And when you start to pull together a list like that, you start to step back and think, holy smokes, how on earth did a failing student, but someone who had a 9-to-5 and producing all these different radio shows, all these TV segments, still manage to produce writing? This is the problem. This is what happens. You start to get burnt out. I started this podcast in 2019, September 2nd. And all of these things coming together, you start to wonder, how long can I possibly keep doing this for? A Current Affair was a show that I used to appear on. Your Money was a station that was doing well at one point, part of Sky News, and disappeared. TV Malta, it was just remarkable. And then Sunrise came in late. Sunrise only came in the last couple of years. 2021 was my first Sunrise appearance. People like Sean White bringing me in to talk, and then Sunrise calling me directly to talk with Koshy and Nat and do segments about anything. During the pandemic, it was remarkable. During some of these biggest stories that we've had, where they, you know, the Optus breach, Medibank, and so on, it was just incredible. Appearing in a documentary or docu-film, whatever it was called, you know, Trillions, the Apple documentary. Trillions is a brilliant documentary that you can watch on Binge and others, and being able to appear in that was filmed during COVID as well. Just an insane amount of stuff and experiences. I've been around the world. I don't think I've missed anything. I've appeared on 7, 9, and 10. When I think about what we've done, and I say we because I can't do it without people who listen or engage, but what we've done over the last 14 years, if I call 2010 the start, over the last 14 years is insane. It's absolutely insane. The support I've had from brands, the support I've had from my family has been remarkable. I've now got 2 kids. I remember when Alexander was born, and I say that's obviously when things hit the fan with EFTM, but I remember getting called in the maternity ward by the Today Show and being asked if I can still come in on the Saturday morning to do a segment. And I did. I woke up in the morning in the maternity ward. I went home, put a suit on, had a shower. I had a shower, put a suit on, went to do the Today Show, spoke to Ali, and then went straight from there back to the maternity ward to be with my new son and my wife. And it was, funnily enough, I remember when Bianca was born, I did a TV segment live from the maternity ward talking about the EU changes about the iPhone charging port now having to be USB-C. That was more than 2 years ago. And I just did that with a pair of headphones and my phone resting on the windowsill, talking live into Malta. So, you know, the opportunities are always there. It's always just been a factor of whether I say yes to them. And I think I've profusely said yes to everything. I've always said yes to everything. And that has upset people. Probably has upset me or my wife or my family from time to time where I'm like, sorry, I'll be right back. I need to do this radio spot, or I pull over because I need to do a radio spot, or I'm going to be late for that lunch that we're catching up with people for because I've got a TV spot, or hey, company, I'm missing that meeting, or I won't be at that meeting this morning because I've got TV. A lot of that just became a bit difficult to do. So it's been a remarkable journey. I've loved the appearances on Studio 10. I loved working with the Today Show. Sunrise has been remarkable. Funnily enough, most people that you meet in the industry are pretty good. Some people do it as a full-time gig, and amazing respect to anyone who can make a living and an honest living out of this gig. I don't think it's easy to be critical of brands or products while still hoping that they can help fund your livelihood effectively. Without the brands, it's very hard to make money in this industry. So if you're too harsh on some of the brands, pretty good chance that sponsorship runs dry. I've always been very open as to where my sponsorship money comes from, but you know, it's difficult when you're actually trying to make a living from it. I can't imagine what that position would feel like. An example, in 2018, when I first appeared on Studio 10, I received a direct message from another tech person who appeared on Studio 10, and they were mad. They were furious about the fact that I was there. I had been asked to appear on Studio 10, and in most cases, most of these segments that I ever do, I'm asked. I rarely had to pitch, especially at the beginning. Eventually, I would continue to pitch segments. But at the beginning, they would reach out to me because they'd seen or heard me somewhere else before. And, you know, when a person who does it for a living is furious at you stepping on their toes, it does surprise you. It does surprise you that, you know, not everyone is welcoming in the industry. And I've always responded with, I'm never going to say no to an opportunity. And I don't expect anybody to say no to opportunities if they land in front of them. But also, it's a reminder to anybody out there, you listener, whatever you do as for a job, whatever you do for a living, if someone out there is doing a better job than you, don't be upset when they get the call. It's that simple. And that was my pure defense every time, is that if you don't like me appearing on the Today Show, Sunrise, Studio 10, writing in different publications, then do better. Because that way I get immediately made invisible. Instead, in this instance, I'm bowing out. I've done everything and so much more than I ever set out to do. I only ever wanted to just help people make better buying decisions. And I feel like for the last 14 years, we've done that. I think I've helped so many people off air as much as on air. I've taken calls for hours in the 2GP studios and elsewhere to finish taking all the calls on the board to make sure that everyone got the help that they needed for no money. And you know, when you think about all this stuff that I've done, TV appearances, radio appearances, none of that helps your bank balance. It actually costs you money because you've got to drive somewhere, pay tolls, pay for fuel, take annual leave, whatever it is. The writing was probably the only spot where I started to see some income. But again, it was pennies to the dollar. It's not really it's not something to quit your day job over. But I feel like I'm bowing out at a really nice time. I always say that you should never quit when things are hard. Wait till things are good again and then go on your own terms. And I feel like I am. I'm looking forward to continuing my IT career. And I think you'll probably hear from me here and there every now and then. I don't think I'll disappear. I actually had a call from Trevor, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying that, just after I announced that I was taking a bow. And I said to myself, I don't know how long I'll be able to do this, as in to stay away from everything for. I said, you know, I was watching TV the other day, and I look at the TV I've got in my living room and think, do I have to buy the next one that I'm watching? And maybe that will be enough to get me back off the couch and back in front of a microphone or your TVs again. So I appreciate everything you've done. You've supported me. You've listened. You've sent me emails. You've sent me messages. You've engaged. And that's all I've ever wanted, is just to help people. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Please stay subscribed to this podcast, because if I decide to do a random episode or bring this back entirely on a weekly basis, I want you to hear it from me, and I want you to hear it first. We've done over 250 something episodes of this show, and I've loved it. We haven't skipped a single week through Christmas, New Year breaks, everything else. This has been my one consistent thing. You won't see my Studio 10 anymore. That thing is shut, but there's always more doors opening, more doors available. You can't squash this cockroach. Ladies and gentlemen, look after yourselves, look after your family. And if you ever need anything, please, I'm not dead. You can still reach out to me via social media or my email. You know how to reach me. Take care. Bye-bye.